I thought I might broach the subject of counselling. In my adult life, I have had approximately 15 years of talking therapy. As a victim of childhood sexual abuse, obviously I needed someone trained to listen to talk to. I have clearly found talking to a professional useful. I have had both good and bad therapists. To my way of thinking, the least useful therapists are those that rigidly adhere to specific ideological models of psychology. One of the issues I encountered with emotional disconnect in therapy was when using counsellors who had a religious ideology. The ambiguity that exists in my sexuality created quite serious conflicts within those people. I was told for about 5 years of counselling from my teens to early 20s that as a bisexual, I should choose one gender or another to have relationships with, that homosexual acts were a sin, and that I should pray away Soho. I, as a teen, hard on my luck, did not have much choice but to approach charity counselling. Unfortunately, in the late 80s, this exposed me mainly to religious counsellors with an agenda of conversion therapy. This caused as many problems as it sought to address. Also notable was the adherence to Freudian-based analysis. They saw my disclosure of being sexually abused as a child as relating to my own sexuality and a product of fantasy, or that I had seduced the adults that abused me as a child. Children are never responsible for adults' behaviour or the crimes of abusers. It is appropriate to place accountability for others' crimes on themselves. Many of my early experiences with counselling tried to blame me as the victim for experience of abuse. It is also worth noting that my abusive family was consulted by Christian therapists. One of the myths they fed to deny their crimes was that counsellors caused false memory through suggestion of abuse during counselling. False memory is largely a myth. There may be ambiguity with specifics, but no one is deluded about their entire childhoods. The abusive family also suggested I was still hallucinating, having used drugs as a teen, when in fact I have never been prone to hallucinations and only briefly experimented with minimal dose of psychedelics as a teen. I have never had flashbacks, and my teen addiction to alcohol and dependency on depressants was without long-term psychological consequence in the view of specialist doctors by the time I reached my early 20s. Specialists concurred that I was a credible witness as a victim of child abuse in recovery as a youth. Also, my abusers claimed a serious head injury from childhood caused false memory and could explain away my trauma symptoms from child abuse. One of my abusers, my Uncle John, was a PhD in chemistry and had used me like a lab rat as a child in both psychological abuse through behaviourist child rearing and through spiking me with drugs and various forms of New Age hypnosis and the like. He promoted various psychological methods for denial of abuse, including claims he caused me to desensitise by flicking fingers in my eyes whilst whipping my naked body with nettles. He also tried to condition alleged multiple personality by calling me different names whilst abusing me and quite extreme attempts at conditioned response. He was a sadist and got off on power over a child. I have interviewed several people diagnosed with multiple personality for periods of months. On investigation, none proved to have a split personality, and they appeared to have been misled into such a belief in themselves by toxic counselling. As far as I know, multiplicity is an urban myth. Sensationalistic representations of the consequence of abuse sell well in the media. When I met Jermaine Jackson as a photographer, he issued an apology, stating their family had invested in psychological models to deny child abuse by Michael Jackson. Their family were not alone in supporting models that ideologically minimised the impact on child victims by their abusers. Armed with the knowledge that some counselling seeks to support rich abusers, who payroll the therapists to defend them, you may well ask who is a safe person to talk to. Again, my view is the more fluid in their ideology and broad in experience and learning the therapist is, the better they are to listen. Rigid ideology types seek to interpret clients' experience, adhere to labelling, and seek to lead the client to conform with their psychological outcome agendas. Change should come freely from within the client, based on their own experience and ideas. So, a lot of negatives. Equally, system-based psychologists linked to psychiatric models proved less than useful in my experience. I have, however, had good experiences with both humanist and existential models. I have been heard, I have no secrets, I have none of the behaviours from my teens recurring in adulthood. I have had a full and varied life with a prolific creative output through engagement with talking therapy. I feel totally okay with who I am, and despite some social issues as a consequence of being an artist, everything is okay. I am a bit lonely, so I continue with therapy. Nothing has really healed over the years. I remain much the same person as I ever was. I still have post-traumatic symptoms. I manage them better having had counselling. Being a client of counselling is part of my recovery history. I am grateful for the ones that didn't seek to interfere or try to get me to forgive and forget. There are no quick, easy fixes to a traumatic upbringing. I still get sleepless nights with memory of being abused in childhood. I do not obsess about this. I deal with it with both self-regulation and talking about it. I have no desire to forget my history. I learn from it, and it informs my boundaries and choices. I have used my history creatively in my communication with the wider community. How they react or deal with this is not my stuff. Give us the list.